This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome back, guys. DG, Asa, and Camerawax. So October 16th is my 24th anniversary. It's about 6,000 shows we were talking about earlier. And when I started out, I knew literally nothing, zero training, zero experience. And two guys, everyone was nice to me, but two guys from the local media OGs were especially nice to me. One of them is Dave Murray, and he's with us now. Hello, Dave.
Hi there.
And then another guy who I didn't know how it was going to be because he was controversial and could be mean to people. And he was super nice to me, really helped me with my career. And that's J.C. Corcoran. And he joins us now. J.C., how you doing, my friend?
I was only mean to people who were mean to me first.
Yeah, fair enough.
He's just a pussycat.
Oh, that was close.
And let me tell you about the real Dave Murray.
Literally ducked.
I thought we were about to make some news here. I could have retired happy if David just
there
said that.
There you go.
Oh, man.
J.C., tell me about your relationship with Dave Murray.
I, J.C. Corcoran, being of sound mind and body, declare this as my last will and testament. Dave is the best, and everybody knows it. And it's just interesting to see that years after his retirement from television, people still just want to go to Dave all the time, and they do exactly what he says, except for Mrs. Murray. I think that really speaks volumes.
So JC is in Florida, and Dave, how much in the path of this thing is he?
He's bullseye right now. It's bearing down on him, and he knows that. JC and I have been communicating for the last week or so about this storm. It is a Category 5 now. It went from a Category 2 this morning to a Category 5 a little bit before 1 o'clock Eastern time. So it has really blown up. It's not the first one to do this, but it's in a rare atmosphere. There was one in 2018 named Michael that did it. There's Wilma in 2005 that also did it. But this is a mean storm, a really mean storm. It is going to kind of nick the Yucatan of Mexico. That may make it wobble a little bit, maybe weaken it just a touch for a couple of hours. But
It's a mean storm, but it's only mean to states that was mean to it first.
Just like JC.
just like JC.
JC, how bad was Helene for you guys?
Oh, it went sort of around us a little bit. It scraped us, I guess you would say. And, you know, but that was the strongest wind gust that I've ever been in. I mean, I've been in hurricanes. I've been in a couple of hurricanes. I was actually doing play-by-play for a football game for Northern Illinois University back in the mid-70s in Lake Charles, Louisiana. And right in about 10 minutes into the game, the public address announcer came out and said that the storm had made basically a right turn. It was coming straight for St. Charles at about 8,000 of the 10,000 people in the stands got up and walked out because they were going to have to intensify their hurricane preparation. So I've been in these things a couple of times, but the wind gust that we had of like 85 miles an hour a week ago, that's the strongest wind gust I've ever experienced. And now Dave, as he continues with his forecast, is going to tell you that apparently I'm going to be looking at winds that are maybe 40 to 60 miles an hour harder than anything that I've ever witnessed. Dave?
Yeah, you know, it almost easily, if it, you know, holds course, it's a long way to go, though we're talking probably Wednesday, so it's not that far off. This thing is going to motor towards the west coast of Florida. This thing, I don't think it's going to lose a lot of steam. It will lose some, I think. But yeah, JC, you guys could be easily looking at 130 mile per hour plus winds. More concerned about the storm surge because this thing is coming at the west coast of Florida with the center around Tampa on a track that just doesn't happen very often. Most of these storms will approach the West Coast and veer off to the north, and or they come up from Cuba or Key West and they kind of run right along the coast. And this thing is like a you're throwing a baseball against a wall. There's nothing to stop it. It's just coming right in, and that's really unusual.
I'm going to have to give a couple of extra thumbtacks to put into my toupee to hold it on.
That won't help.
JC, having just gone through at least the arms of Helene, how concerned are you about Milton now?
Well, you know, they want us to evacuate. They want everybody to evacuate, but interestingly, we're at 62 feet. You know, when you move down here and we're only 1.6 miles from the Gulf of Mexico, I could walk to the Gulf of Mexico. Some people would suggest I do, and to continue walking, by the way, and not stop. But that's another story. But, you know, 1.6 miles is not far when you're talking about a hurricane stretching. But we're at 62 feet, which should not be a problem in terms of flooding. So what we're looking at here is wind. I have about a 130-year-old oak tree right in my front yard. Most of what we have is palm trees, but I got a 130-year-old oak. And if that thing decides to just, say, that's it, I give up, and crash into the house, well, you know, Dave, you can have my headphones.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, I've got one of your microphones. So
I want
works.
The tax.
I'm talking into that right now.
Yeah, Wheeler wants a toupee tax.
Yeah.
Yeah, but we're staying. We're going to ride it out. You know, we got a generator. We got gas. We have a hurricane-reinforced garage door. We have hurricane windows. We just had a brand-new roof put on the place about 2 weeks ago. Mm. And, you know, the last thing that I would want to do is, abandon my collection of exotic American girl dolls.
I miss JC. What is new in JC, world? JC, what's going on in your world before we let you go? What's new?
Doing a podcast every day, jcontheline.com, and riding this sucker out. And, we're just going to see where we end up on the other end of it.
If it is possible and doable, could we talk to you again in a couple days?
If we're here, yeah.
Yes.
If I don't wake up in the Bahamas, yeah. Absolutely, sure. I mean, anything for you, Dave, sure.
All right, buddy. Thank you, JC. I appreciate it, my friend.
You bet. And to the other Dave, see you too. Thanks.
You got it.
Thank you, Dave.
All righty.
All right, pal. I like those guys. What can I say?
I know. I thought we had a moment there for a second.
I truly did.
I was this close to getting up and running around the room laughing.
And you know it would be Dave Murray. If anyone's going to do it.
Yeah.
It'd be him.
The last few people to really curse on this show was my buddy Dr. Rob Hagen, Glenn Beck. Glenn Beck dropped a couple.
Oof.
Yeah, I know, right? You don't expect that.
Mm-mm.
Still haven't done it.
Good for you.
Thank you.
We've all done it recently.
We're proud.
The three of us have done it like in the past year.
So everyone out there who cares about the show and cares about me, give me some thoughts tonight. I'm going in to do my first vigil for No One Dies Alone.
Nice.
Do you know what time yet?
8 p.m. to 10 p.m.
8 to 10.
Yes. So I will be there. Thankfully, I will have a veteran with me who's done this many, many times. In fact, it's a lovely woman who was with my mom.
Oh, cool.
Not when she passed, but when we got there one morning when I didn't understand what No One Dies Alone was, I couldn't believe that existed.
Yeah.
She was the one who was there and kind of introduced me to it. So she'll be my mentor tonight.
It's cool. It's good to have that. I mean, I think in anything new, but especially something like that, that's daunting. I mean, let's be honest. It's not something that... You know, you're going to be like rip-roaring to go, but you're doing it because you feel it's important. It's good to have someone that knows the ropes, that has, you know, the steady hand that's been there before. I think that's the greatest thing in all unknowns.
And everyone's different. Everyone passes away differently, looks different, feels different. So even if tonight goes well and is peaceful and they may pass away while we're there, they probably won't. It's just kind of the way
odds,
it goes.
Yeah.
But that's no guarantee that the next one won't be a little bit rougher. So,
right.
But I'm really anxious to kind of get this first one under my belt and say, okay, I can do this.
Yeah. I think with all things, the more you do things, the easier they become.
Yes.
But this is not just a thing, you know?
Right.
It's more than that.
Well, and it's a thing because it's daunting to me. Not going to lie. It's a little bit scary to me. even when it was my mom,
right.
was a little bit spooky. But it's also, I've had a lot of moments in my life, and I've messed a lot of them up. I don't want to mess up someone's moment.
Yeah,
I mean, I'm not going to be in there doing shtick.
Right?
I'm not going to be like, you know, making the towels talk or something.
Yeah.
But it's just so sacred.
Yeah.
It's just so absolutely sacred. You want to honor it.
Yeah. But I think you're built for that. You get it.
Yeah.
Duh. That was I didn't mean to do that.
Nope.
But you do.
I can do this.
Yeah.
I just had a real generational moment. The, lovely woman who I'm meeting tonight for the Noda vigil. I was tearing off a piece of paper that Rach can verify I did to write her name down and put it in my pocket. And then I'm like, oh, I have a computer in my hand.
Yeah.
Let me write it in ink on my palm.
Yeah. You really got a Sharpie.
Sometimes you forget.
You know, it is weird, isn't it? Because you just, like, this is the computer in your pocket that's also a television set.
Oh, I'm
and
sure.
And a radio.
I'm sure it's capable of doing things I have no
and
idea.
And a game system. You just forget that that's there for
yeah.
1 second.
One time when I had opened my law firm and I was trying to buy a computer at Best Buy, and the young guy helping me was like, dude, this has a Pentium 3. There will literally never be a faster computer than this.
Until next
this
year.
Is like, you know, 1997. I'm like, whoa, that sounds pretty good.
Mm. Sign me up.
Pentium.
Faster? There never will be.
Rach just looks at us
she's
like
just
such
so
idiots.
Done. She's
it's like you're Mo and I'm Curly.
Yeah, she was done when she walked in. We're not making it easier.
I guess that makes Andrew. Are you Larry?
Larry is the best one, I will say.
Yeah, Larry
he
is.
He seems the most kind.
Larry's the sophisticate.
Yeah.
Sign yes. me up.
He seems the most intelligent.
He seems to get it.
Yeah, he does. It's like, what are you doing hanging around with these two?
Yeah. Larry, now I'm going to get into a whole expose on the Three Stooges. I couldn't agree more. No one's ever said this to me. Larry never attacks.
No, Larry defends.
He defends.
Yeah.
I think he eggs on sometimes.
Yeah.
He's there.
Because
you know,
he sets up Curly for some.
He does live with him.
You know, I don't blame Curly too much because Curly is just not that smart. You know, Curly's just along for
Mo's
the ride.
Getting the smoke.
Mo is so mean. He's a bad person. I don't like him.
You do get the sense watching
Mo's
it.
A bad person.
Watching
he is.
It. Watching it in 2024, you do get the feeling now that we like kind of understand social dynamics a little more than we maybe did. You do look at it and you're like, okay, so like. Mo is an abuser.
Like if Mo stopped,
yes,
the whole thing would be done.
Mo's an abuser who is like manipulating these two men into this abusive relationship with him, right? Like you get the sense that the dynamic plays differently in 2024 than it does in like, you know, 1950 or whatever.
So you did dad guy stuff this weekend?
Oh my gosh. Yeah.
Good for you.
So I did stuff under the hood of a car.
Like, to the car?
Yes.
That's impressive.
Yeah. So I can't take full credit. So so my mother-in-law, Janet. Hi, Janet. Hi, Mom.
Hi, Janet.
She loves the show, by the way.
We love Janet.
That's awesome.
She had her car basically lost its gourd and the horn was going and the wipers are flashing. Nobody knows why. It was freaking out. And there was a guy that lives where she does who noticed it. He's a mechanic. Thank you, dude. He figured out how to unplug the horn, gave her some ideas of what we could do to maybe solve those problems of the wipers nonstop going and the horns going off. And with the help of a little guidebook, instruction manual that comes with the car, she had looked those things up. So we figured out where the fuse box was. I took out fuses, and none of it worked.
Aww.
But I did stuff under the hood of a car.
Yeah.
Man, how cool would
you.
It have been if it had worked? How good would you feel?
I would have been flexing like you can't believe. I'd have been texting Greg Damon like, Greg, guess what, buddy?
Go to work for
but
Greg.
Yeah, so then we reattached the battery and it was making a really weird noise. Like it was doing stuff, but the car wasn't on. The engine wasn't on, but it was still making a noise.
That's
so we're
weird.
Like, I'm going to take that and unhook it again.
Like Christine.
Yeah, it's not doing great. But that, and then also had a project. Had to take a, what do you call the, for God's sake, it's not a run. It's not a treadmill. It's the elliptical. I got one of those from over the weekend.
You're pretty savvy about this
stuff. I know. And my job was just somehow fit it into the car.
Yeah.
And then somehow get it down into the basement. And I had help in both regards, but I did a thing.
Nice.
Most something. Weekends I don't do any things.
No, I feel you.
I don't like when I have to do things, but those things went well.
Are you guys like me? I can go, and I'm not like this in general, but on the weekends, I can go a whole weekend and do nothing.
Yeah.
I can't do nothing.
Oh, I didn't come real close.
Yeah, I can't do nothing, but I can do a lot of nothing.
I still do like laundry and stuff because I don't like to do that during the week. But as far as like, do I have to leave the apartment? No, I do not. Yesterday was a rare one because the jet lag, like I said earlier, has me all messed up. And I got like really antsy and I was like, you know what? I'm just going to go to the gas station and get a fountain soda. But that was like enough. That was enough to
feel super
accomplished.
Yeah. That's a bunch.
I got a Coke Zero. It was awful.
But it wasn't a QT.
It wasn't. It was at an On the Run, which doesn't have the selection of QT, but it's still nice. You know, it's still nice to go once in a while.
We need to go out to, what's our Bucky's knockoff?
Wally's.
We need to go out there.
Wally's.
First of all, that's not a Bucky's knockoff. Bucky's is a Wally's knockoff. No, I don't know.
Wally's is awesome.
Someone's looking for a new live endorsement.
Yeah.
I was at Wally's on the 4th of July. I don't know why I told you guys that.
The 4th of July.
That was the last time I was there.
All day by yourself.
That was an I like turtles moment. I like turtles.
I was at Bucky's on the 4th of July.
Cool story. Oh. Tell us more.
Hey, I was in Target on Sunday.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome back, DGS on KMOX 334. Dave Murray rejoins us. Dave, thanks for joining me with JC there. That was fun.
Absolutely. My pleasure.
So, just kind of give me a quick history with you and JC. You guys go all the way back?
Oh, man. Yeah, a long time. I'm not sure it's as long as you and me, but it's really long.
Yeah.
I forget. We're at that point in our relationship that, we could go a month or two without texting or talking, and then all of a sudden there'll be an event like this, and I'll be texting him or talking to him like six or seven times a day.
Man. He is a good guy. I meant what I said. Yeah. Yeah. No, I mean, I understand why he's divisive, and that was on purpose. I mean, that was his career, but no, he's always been a prince to me. So let's go back and start with this giant storm. It's just, I mean, did you say it touched Category 5 now?
Yes, it is a Category 5, about quarter of one Eastern time. It became a Category 5, and that went from a Cat 2 to a Cat 5 very, very quickly. It has happened before, as I mentioned a little while ago, but it doesn't happen very, very often. That's the good news.
And so that is a function of both the storm and the warm water of the Gulf. And as it gets closer to land, it will diminish, but probably still be a solid 3, right?
I think it could easily be a 4 as it goes into the west coast of Florida. It's kind of rubbing up against the Yucatan Peninsula right now, Mexico. It's not a direct hit by any means. It's just on the edges. It will weaken a little bit because of that friction of land, and then it gets back over 89-degree water. It will probably go back up to a Category 5 if it loses a little strength after hitting an edge of that land. And then it's nonstop. It has a nonstop track right into the west coast of Florida. The track is going to wobble a little bit. There'll be some variations of exactly where it goes, but do not focus on the eye of the storm. It's not as big as far as size is concerned as Helene, but it's a big storm. It has a tight little eye, which tells us that this thing is still developing. It's not done developing yet. And we've got a problem. It could drastically change the look of the west coast of Florida.
Wow.
For about 100 miles either direction.
You know,
that's how big this thing is. The storm surge of this thing could be 20 feet.
Yeah.
Because it's got nowhere to go. It's just slamming against the wall.
Unfortunately, we learned the hard way down in South Florida when I was at Miami, Dave. That's when Hurricane Andrew came through. Mm-hmm. And after the fact, I got assigned as a journalism student to write a story about hurricanes, talk to the National Hurricane Center, and they always described it. The worst case scenario is the one that sits out over the Gulf and then comes back yes. from the west because it's low-lying. And you mentioned the storm surge. I know that's a big concern in Tampa specifically, in their downtown area especially. But the storm surge is a big part. But, man, those winds, if it's a five. I saw what it did in South Florida. I saw a boat on top of a strip mall, and I saw cars on top of houses. I mean, it's crazy.
Jeez.
Yeah, it wasn't that long ago that Ian hit the Fort Myers area.
Right.
And now it wasn't a Category
5. Yeah.
That was a mean storm.
But and it wiped out that whole little key there, right?
You can still go down there and see damage. And that I don't want to get on my soapbox about how we don't do enough for our own people. But that's a good example. And Helene is going to be another great example. And this is going to be maybe a bigger example.
And all these
of
people.
How we need to hit this full force.
Yeah. 2% of these people have flood insurance. And the FEMA will pay them.
That's a great point.
Yeah. FEMA will pay them something, but nowhere near enough. Nowhere near enough to make them whole. Are you guys?
No, and FEMA stretched to the limit right now because of Helene. And now a week later. This is happening.
Are you guys like me? So I'm doing a project at my house, painted the whole thing. I'm de-hoarding. You know, I'm taking just televisions and eBay boxes. And it's going really, really slow. And this is a normal thing to do. When you see these images and videos of this catastrophic damage and these people that it's just their whole town is just flattened.
Yeah.
I don't know. The human spirit is amazing. I hope I have
it really is.
I mean, it's just to see these people regroup and clean up and start again is truly inspirational. Dave, what are we? I mean, I kind of know what we're looking at this week. I mean, it's just absolutely picture perfect here right now.
Right. Our weather is quiet, mainly because all the energy of the atmosphere is down in the Gulf. We're going down to about 47 tonight, so that's going to be chilly. 74 tomorrow, lots of sunshine. Then we start a little bit of a warming trend. Wednesday is sunny, 78. That's above average. Thursday, sunny, 81. Friday, 83 and sunshine. Saturday, 84 and sunshine.
Okay, fair enough.
And this storm, by the way, is not going to follow the path that Helene took.
That's good.
This one is going right across the peninsula of Florida back out into the Atlantic.
No, that's good at least. Headlines, Rach?
Yeah.
Headlines is brought to you by Schnucks. Reward yourself daily with the Schnucks Rewards app. According to a survey from Nemours Children's Health, 64% of children ages 9 to 13 are worried about school.
Oh.
These worries can range from anxieties about bullying to academic challenges to not be invited to parties or different friend groups.
No shock to anyone listening. I was a huge worry wart combined with being a huge procrastinator. And that doesn't work out well. And I always had a heightened sense, as kids do. I guess I didn't realize how little of a deal any given thing was. Like every book report that I had a week to work on and I didn't start until the night before was the end of the world. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like my mom and dad just made it seem so go on your permanent record and all that kind of stuff. And yet I was a floater. I mean, I didn't put the work in. So I was constantly, constantly anxious.
Man, the permanent record. What a lie.
Right?
It doesn't exist.
There isn't one, kids.
There isn't one. If you're listening and you're worried about it, let me just.
There's not a mom and dad out there, even today, that doesn't pull that. That's a classic parenting line.
It worked.
Did you guys see the safety from the Patriots? Jabril Peppers has been arrested on charges, including assault and battery, strangulation, and drug possession.
Die.
Police were called early Saturday morning to a residence in Massachusetts for a domestic disturbance involving two people. The 29-year-old will be charged with assault and battery with a dangerous weapon, strangulation, and possession of a Class B substance believed to be cocaine.
Mm.
He's a team captain for the Patriots. The head coach said they were still gathering information.
Yeah, I bet.
They typically don't say anything until they have to.
Yeah.
And you don't know for sure. I mean, like, if charges get dropped, well, then they're going
to
leave it alone.
Wheels, but is it just me? I just saw the highlight reel, which is the wrong word to use, but that's all I have, of these horrific hits in the NFL. Are we having more of these?
No, less.
Really?
Probably less now than at any point in NFL history.
Interesting.
Yeah. I mean, they used to sell the end of year all of the biggest, most damaging hits on a highlight reel tape. Like, they used to sell it as a VCR tape.
Wow.
They've gone away, obviously, from that. And most of the changes that have happened in football in the last 10, 15, 20 years have been to try to help make it safer. Right? You can't hit people in the head anymore, which is good. You know, then you get all the old school people whining, like, oh, you can't hit anybody. Well, okay, but it's supposed to be a sport. It's not supposed to be a blood sport. Like, you know you're going to get injuries. You know you're going to have these. I mean, we're seeing it now, but trying to limit them is a good thing.
Well, speaking of the NFL union is saying that they want cameras out of locker rooms. Did you guys see this story?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But there's little willingness to collaborate from the NFL.
So what's the deal? The guys are naked in there and you just go in there and talk to them?
That's up to them, but yes. I mean, that's typically, I mean, it's not just NFL. That's
everything.
Not everything. They do it a little differently in hockey. You know, hockey, they have two separate, at least, you know, at Enterprise, they do two separate areas. They have a main locker room, which is what you'll see, like, if you're watching a game on Bally and they go in there and the guys are on there. They're in that. There's that, but then there's a separate one where they can shower and change into something more presentable.
I can't believe every team in every sport at this point doesn't have that.
In baseball, football, I'm talking professionals. You don't do any of this in the college side. And I haven't covered the NBA as a professional person. I've never been in there as a professional person, so I don't know exactly what they do. But that's the norm. There's just naked people walking around while everybody's in there.
Not to be misogynistic, but I mean, do the females, they just do the very same thing that the males do as far as the reporters?
Yeah. Yeah. There's no difference as far as how it goes.
Moving on here. A man was attacked by a black bear in his home on Thursday night. This happened in Colorado. The man is 74 years old. Officials say that the bear and her cubs entered his home through a partially cracked sliding glass door, causing a loud crash that startled the homeowner. The bear charged the man and he incurred significant wounds from being clawed. Unfortunately, the bear and her three cubs were euthanized after the incident.
Man, I'm afraid of bears.
Why would they have to be put down?
I guess because they broke into the house.
Especially the babies.
But I mean,
yeah, babies didn't do anything. They're just following their mom.
I think it's just kind of a general rule, right? If an animal hurts a human.
Seems to be.
It's just doing what it normally does.
Yeah.
I mean, like, it was just seeking food, most likely, or shelter. Well, don't leave your sliding glass door open, number one. I'm not blaming the person. I mean, you got attacked. It's terrible. And I would say remove them from the area would be nice. But
yeah. I've said that about
the same way about a lot of, like, you do that with, they'll do it with a mountain lion or even an alligator or whatever. Like, just move it away from people. It's not like, I don't think they have a memory and they're going to be like, oh, I'm getting all those other people because I got that one. I don't think that's how it works.
Yeah. That's the way they talk about it, though.
Yeah.
It's a man eater now.
Yeah. It's like, it's considered, they're like, yeah, it's a little bit too dangerous. Now that it does know and perhaps associate seeing people with something that it could kill or attack, then it's just like, it's probably easier just to.
Yeah, I get that, but I also don't get it. Like, are they thinking that prior to this, the bear never saw a person and was like, yummy? Or, you know what I mean? It's like, well, now that they've had the taste of blood.
You wonder what they do think when they see us.
Yeah.
I mean, not one that's like, you know, Yellowstone where they see us all the time. But if a bear that's never seen a human runs into us, you wonder what the thought process is. Because you would think.
My gut feeling is that was a mom who was startled by the person.
Yep.
And got the babies.
Yeah.
You know, that was protection of the babies.
Yeah.
Right. That's why the attack happened. They typically will ignore you because you're not relevant to them. You're not food to them.
I wonder why we're not, though.
What's that?
I wonder why we're not food to them.
Probably because they never see us, right?
Well, they don't. They're not typically hunt and kill animals. They're like eat fish and things like that.
That too. They're not big. Like they'll eat pretty much anything.
Right, right.
But I mean, they're not big. Like
running down deer.
Yeah, they're not like tigers.
It's not like a mountain lion or whatever that's going to do that. But also, like I think all of the species over time figure out by visual, like. If that animal's too dangerous to my well-being, I'm not going to attack it.
Yeah.
This is how they all kind of survive.
Thanks again, Dave.
Yep.
352 DGS. I would ask you respectfully to help me help the American Cancer Society. I'm an ambassador for Men Wear Pink. I've told them committed to raising $2,500 during the month of October. The link is up on our Facebook. So this really is one of those, you know, the DGS mafia out there giving $5, $10. If you can give more, that's great. I have a couple of interesting things I'm going to be selling for $1,000 or so that are worth way more than that. But that's going to come up later on. See how we do in the next week or two. So I would appreciate that if cancer has touched your life in some way.
Yeah, can I do a quick sports guy rant?
Of course you can. You can do just that if you want.
Okay, because this stuff comes up all the time, and I despise it. So last night, you guys probably saw the delay. It was like an 11-minute delay in the Dodgers-Padres game because people in the stands at Dodger Stadium were throwing things at Padres outfielders, right? Yeah. Why are we not harder on people that do these things? Printed on the back of every ticket. If you throw something on the field, you get 10 days in jail, period, the end, see ya.
What do they get?
If you go, I don't know, mostly they just get ejected. Mostly you just get thrown out of the game, which to me is, because there is danger involved, right? I mean, it's not that there always is, but there can be. And for the people that run on the field, 30 days in jail, see ya. I do not want to hear from you. You knew what you were doing. I don't care if you were drunk. It's not funny. I hate that a bunch of idiots laugh at it and celebrate it when people do dumb crap. In any other walk of life, you cannot just start. If somebody walked in our front door right now and was just running around our hallways, some strange person, we would call the cops, and that person would get arrested.
Fair enough.
And charged. You're at people's work. We've seen professional athletes attacked by people in the past. It's not common, but we've seen it happen. Why do we laugh at it? Why do we go, "Ha ha, look at that jerk running from security"? That guy should go to jail. If you do that anywhere, go to a law firm and run around their offices and see what happens to you. Try that anywhere people work. Why is it an exception for sports?
No.
Why is it an exception for sports when it comes to storming the field? Why is that okay? You can't storm any other person's job or any other place.
It's not just you're talking about it like it's an office. This is a place where you invite thousands of people and then give them a bunch of booze.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. You do not belong there.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.